Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 76. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe to the podcast on whichever platforms you're listening to this on. It'll help us move up in the rankings and also help us to reach more people. If you could also please leave a 5-star rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have 2 masterclasses that are taught by experienced real estate investors in various areas of real estate. You have unlimited access to our library of past guest speaker recordings. You also have access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community, to share resources, and also to continue to support one another. So definitely something you want to take advantage of. I would love to see you in the community. If you're interested, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and you'll find all the information that you need. For those of you who have been tuning in and listening for the last couple of weeks, you're aware that I'm currently going through my first tenant turnover, also managing it from long distance. So there's a lot involved in the process, and I'm shifting my strategy, as I mentioned last week. Instead of rushing to get somebody into the property, I'm going to take my time, make updates to make it look as nice as possible so I can maximize my rent. So the most recent things that we got done is paint, the carpet was pulled, and I'm installing luxury vinyl plank flooring. So very excited about that. Unfortunately, the tenant cleaned the carpet as they were supposed to in the lease, but the person who I had doing the walkthrough mentioned that the dogs urinated inside, so there's an odor that we can't get rid of. So therefore, decided to go with the flooring, and that's something that'll last much longer than carpet. So definitely stay tuned. I'll be posting on Instagram and talking about it here, so definitely stay tuned to that. Otherwise, I'm very excited about this episode. I had a lot of fun while recording this interview, so looking forward to hearing what you all think about it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. I'm very excited about this episode today. Here with me, I have Stephanie Asi. Stephanie, thank you so much for taking the time to join the show today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. So to start off, could you just tell us more about who you are and where you're from?
Sure. I am Stephanie. I live in the DC area. I have been here for the past 7 years. However, I used to live upstate New York in Albany. I am from the Ivory Coast in West Africa. I have been in the United States for 13 years now. I moved here right at 18, you know, came on my own, tried to really build a different life. I wouldn't say a better life, but just having more opportunities. And I now work as a software engineer. I have been working in the tech field for about 8 years. I did study computer science, so started developing, building apps, building websites, and just it grew from there. And today I have a team that I'm leading, and we do a lot of great work, great development work, building cool apps. And that's just something that I really enjoy. And then outside of work, I have, you know, side hustles, you know, businesses, trying to build wealth. And I suppose that's why we're here.
Absolutely. What was it like just coming here at 18 and just starting your life over in a new country?
Oh, it was scary because I had never left my parents' home before. I'm the first born of 6 children in total. So, you know, I have left all my siblings, and then I was also a teenage mom. So when I came, I had to leave my son behind. He was only 2 years old at the time. So the frustration, then the anticipation of just not knowing what I was coming into. I also didn't speak the language because the Ivory Coast is a French colony. So I didn't speak. I mean, I knew how to say hi, but I didn't really speak English. So when I came and registered for school, they required me to take 1 year of intensive English classes before I can even start university. So I ended up starting school a year after my peers. So everybody else, you know, finished a high school, jumped right into college. I had 1 year just to do English so I could be qualified to take American classes fully in English and so on. But then once I started picking on a lot of things. I didn't graduate with a 4.0, but I did well. You know, landed a job right out of college. Before graduation, I already had a job offer. So things worked out well. It was just really scary being in a foreign place where you barely knew anyone, barely know the language. And I think my mom's prayers definitely helped.
Definitely. That's amazing. That's amazing. So how do you go from coming to this country at 18 years old, you know, going to school? I would imagine at that time, you just worry about getting a good job, getting on your feet. So how do you go from that, you know, graduating everything to wanting to get into real estate? Like, what was it about real estate that got you interested? And you're like, you know what? This is one of the vehicles I want to use to build wealth.
So when I was in college for a long time, I didn't have, let's say, a work authorization. So I was, you know, doing little jobs. I was doing hair for like 2 years, braiding, working as a server in a restaurant, doing the back. So I overheard a lot of conversations. You know, a lot of times people don't pay attention to little workers, you know, so it's like they're having a full-blown conversation about their money, about deals that happen. And you just kind of picked up. So I knew, especially in Albany, it is a majority white area. So there were, you know, a lot of clients coming in to the restaurants. They were having like business meetings, a lot of those things. So they were talking about stuff, even though it didn't make sense to me at the time, but it sounded like, wow, this is something good to get into at some point. So it was my goal, like as soon as I get my papers or as soon as I get a job, to save so I could buy a house. And I wasn't looking to buy a house for me to live in. I was looking to buy to do student housing, which is what I did. So in 2013, when I graduated with my bachelor's, I started working 6 months after that. I saved enough for my down payment on a duplex. So, and I bought it right downtown, right by the student housing locations in Albany. So that's how I got started. I didn't live in any of the units, even though I did do FHA, but I was right down the street. So I had some family members live in the unit, keep an eye on it. And while I was still learning the ropes, it ended up not working well long term because student housing, I didn't know how much they could damage properties, right? So after 2-3 years, I was like, everything that I'm making, it was cash flowing well, but everything was going back in for repairs, for replacements. Like, oh, they get into a fight, like a sink is broken, like just things were kept happening. And after that, I decided I wanted to switch to a different strategy. So I ended up selling that duplex 3 years later, used the proceeds from the sale. I mean, it did yield some money. It wasn't a lot, but I used that as a down payment into another property that I bought in Maryland, which has been doing much, much better. I've had it for 6 years, no issues. But having that first, I don't call it a mistake, but just that first experience helped me know what I don't want to do. Or rather, if I was to do student housing, I would use completely different approach. I would put different fixtures into the house so it's easier to replace and repair. I would probably raise the rent to attract more responsible students, things like that. But it was quite a journey. So real estate for me started very young. I was only 23 at the time when I bought my first property, and just trying to manage it all.
Definitely. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about within that. So a lot of people, they are afraid to get started. Like, maybe they have the money and this, that, and the other. A lot of people want to dot every I, cross every T before you get started. But I think we're just at the beginning of the story. I think your first example is a testament to, at some point, you just got to take action, right? Mm-hmm. You got into the property, you purchased a duplex, your first instinct, you're in a college town, student housing. Mm-hmm. You stuck with it for a couple of years, didn't work out as you thought it would. However, at that point, you had a choice. You could have either thrown in towel, said, forget this real estate stuff. But as you mentioned, you took the proceeds and you tried a different strategy. You tried something different. So that's something I don't want people to gloss over because it's very important. You know, it may not always work out with the first property or what problems will happen, but it's like, there's different ways to go about it. There's different types of real estate you can get into.
Yeah. And the good thing is like, that's the kind of mistake. So if I want to make a mistake in something, I'd rather do it soon and learn, and it's a cheaper mistake. Then, you know, that could have turned really badly if it was like a quadplex or if I just jumped into getting like a huge multifamily. But because it was a smaller scale investment, even selling wasn't a hard decision to make because, you mm-hmm. know, over 3 years, I've seen everything. I didn't, you know, it helped cover some bills for me. So it wasn't completely bad. It's like, oh, I made whatever I wanted to make out of this. I've moved now. And at the time I was already living in DC. So I was managing myself remotely, which I learned not to do anymore. But on weekends, you know, I would drive 5 hours, go down there, like, oh, see what's going on. So it was taking a toll on me. Decided to buy closer to home. And Maryland has some great cities. It appreciates fast. I was like, you know what? Let me, instead of blowing up the money, the profit, let me use that as the down payment on something else.
Very smart. So can you talk about that second property? So at that point, you had moved down to yes. that area and you purchased over yeah. there?
So I purchased, I did FHA, which required me to live in the home for a year. So it was great because, you know, the down payment was low. And so I bought the property in Maryland, stayed there. And while I was living there, I was making some additions. So it was a single family home with a partially finished basement. And around here, a lot of basements actually have an exit, a full walkout exit. So, first instinct was, wait a minute, somebody could literally live down there. So I met a good handyman. We talked about it. I made sure it was legal, you know, things like that. So we built up a kitchenette in the basement and it was pretty spacious. It wasn't anything tight. It was about 1500 square. It was a spacious space. It was already set up to have a bedroom, even though there wasn't like a wall. So we put a wall, we did a kitchenette, fixed up the walkout. So it's properly lit. So coming from the front of the house, there's like a walkway to the backyard and then steps to go into the basement. So it was functional. And then I started putting that up for rent for $1,000 a month, you know, everything included, like all the utilities, because nobody's going to be paying their own bill. Everything is attached to the house. Mm-hmm. So for $1,000, you get furnished, and it was furnished. You get furnished basement space. You have your privacy because you have your own entrance and exit. The door leading to the main house was locked all the time. So I wasn't going in. They weren't coming up. I was living upstairs. And just like that, it started. And then I was like, wait a minute. I can do this for all the rooms because it's just myself. At the time, it was just myself. My son was going back and forth between myself and his dad. So I was like, what am I doing with all those rooms? So I started renting out rooms of the house. I only left one room vacant for my son and then, you know, rented out two rooms plus the basement. So my mortgage was fully paid for at that point. Fully paid for. And one thing, it was hard for me because a lot of people from the outside just saw like, okay, you're a woman, you have all these roommates. Are you not afraid something is going to happen to you? Like, how do you even find those people? But I was running background checks. I was using Zillow rental. They have like a platform. People can submit applications. So I was using that as a system to run background checks, make sure, you know, they pay a deposit, everything goes through there. So it was working. It was just the safety part at some point. I was like, you know what, maybe this is not quite what I want to do long term. But I did it for 2 years, no issues. You know, my mortgage again was paid for. I saved a lot of money because $2,500 that was supposed to come out of my paycheck to cover my mortgage was now mine. So I had a lot of money just saved up. That's how I scaled so quickly, is because I was able to do those little things, those hacks that helped me save aggressively and then put my savings towards another home. So I was buying, like, even my lender was like, wait, this is crazy. I was like, I know. I was like, wow. So a lot of times just being creative, I call it creative with what you have. I had a house. I saw potential in the basement, legal potential, transformed that, made it into a separate unit, rented out my rooms because I'm not sleeping in all the four bedrooms. I'm only occupying one. And the good thing is my house was located near a military base. So it was a lot of military contractors or families coming in and out. Sometimes they only have an assignment for like a week or a month. So they were just looking for something nearby. And I had my little ad, you know, $500 a month, just the room. And so it was kind of cute. And a lot of them just liked the not have to worry about furniture because everything was furnished. So they would just come in with a backpack. At the end of the month, they're gone.
Got it. I think that's really awesome. And the reason is because you came, right? You came and it's a single family home. Most people is like, oh, this is great. You know, I got my home, got my four bedrooms, I got my basement. But it seemed like very quickly, you're like, wait a minute, I could, you know, fix this up somehow down there and rent that out. And then it was like, wait another minute, let me try to rent the rooms out, you know, and obviously there's comfort level, all those things come into play. But the point being, you know, you saw it as more than a single family home.
Yeah.
And you built it into streams of income that covered your mortgage. And so I think that is a key point because you thought outside of the box. You saw it for more than what was in front of you.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see the glamorous part of like, oh, I mean, maybe some people on the outside was like, wow, she bought a house. The house looks nice. I did love my house. But for me, it was another means to get somewhere else. Like I was living there. I knew I had to do my 1 year. Might as well make it count. I did that. I even stayed 2 years because it was working well for me. I was like, okay, I'm not going to go somewhere, pay rent where I'm living for free in my own home. And then after that, you know, I wanted to switch school districts for my son. So we moved away and then I ended up renting the whole house to a family. But the 2 years that I house hacked for, I mean, that set me way ahead.
Definitely. So you also mentioned you hooked up with a handyman. Who helped you kind of make some of the repairs and renovations. What was that like, just managing that at that point?
What it was, so whenever he came over, I always got quotes from two people. So I had a first handyman come, give me a quote, give me his opinion. Because again, as a woman, you think something and you just always want some kind of validation. So he was like, oh yeah, a lot of people do that around here. It's actually pretty common. So he gave me a quote. And then when the second guy gave me a quote, I thought it was more attractive. He even had more ideas. Like, oh, we'll put a wall here. We can even do this side as a den. Just, you know, so he brought more that made me go with him and build like a longer term relationship. Even till today, like he still does work for me, you know, outside of the DMV. Like I fly him out to fix some of my work because I trust him that much. But yeah, initially it was a little scary because you don't know who they are. And handyman / contractors have a very bad reputation in the real estate community. So it's always hard to find someone who's trustworthy. But I'm very fortunate that this guy was a gem in the mud.
Definitely.
Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is.
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community.
Something else you mentioned is that you were able to scale because of all the money you were able to save during those 2 years you were house hacking. Can you talk to us more about that and just where real estate went for you from there?
Yes, so I saved up a lot. Some of it was gone to the stock market investing. And then the other part of it, I was saving for possible down payment. So because I already had a primary home, I couldn't do a FHA anymore. So I have to do conventional on any future investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. I got started in Memphis, Tennessee, very low price point. It worked for me because like, oh wow, the 20% ends up being like $20,000 on $100,000 property. That's doable versus buying here in DC for like $500,000. I can't afford those 20%. So I was doing a lot of match going from market to market, starting off with my own budget. I'm like, okay, I have like 25K saved. Where can I go with those 20? Where can those 25K take me? Where can I afford house a property with this budget? So started looking up different, you know, different markets. I looked up Birmingham, Alabama. I even went to Dallas. I got out. I was like, okay, that's probably a little higher than my price point, but I had my budget set at 100K. And then I ended up finding single families in Memphis right under 100K. That was also cash flowing. That's crazy. I was like, wait, for like a $90,000 property, I can make the same profit that I would make on a $300,000 property here. So it's like, yeah, we have leverage, but you have to think kind of smart about your leverage. So I decided to buy there. So I ended up buying two single families in Memphis. I loved it so much, and I started doing it again and again. So my journey just went from investing locally to now being out of state and just being on my computer, doing all the research, making calls, and boom, deals were closing just like that. Wow. I think that's what really made my portfolio grow. I don't have a bunch of houses. I have seven, but the cash flow that I make from those, I've talked to a few people, like they have a lot more properties, but we're cash flowing about the same. And they're like, wait, how did you do that? I did a lot of research. I took my time. So sometimes, and maybe this is one of the questions that you ask down the line. Sometimes when you have the disposable income, you have the money, you're itching to like, okay, what can I spend it on? What can I spend it on? And you kind of get too excited and you jump on the first shiny object or you're on the first opportunity. But I took a lot. Even my agent was frustrated because everything he was sending me, I was like I took a lot of time to find what would give me the kind of profit I was looking for and the kind of peace of mind. I wasn't looking for a flip because I don't live in those areas, okay? I live here. If I'm flipping, I need to be where the flip is happening so I can monitor it. Mm-hmm. So I knew I didn't want a house that needed work. I needed something that was good enough to get rented right off the bat. Like, I don't mind doing a paint job, fixing a few things, but I didn't want major repairs done. So that was one of my criteria. And it worked out.
Definitely, definitely. I'm curious, what was it about Memphis that drew you to that market? I guess in addition to the prices, or was it just the prices?
Well, in addition to the prices, it was the population. So Memphis has a higher percentage of renters compared to homeowners. So there is a lot of people available to rent. So certain markets have attractive price points, but a lot of homeowners and buyers. So if you do buy a property that you plan on renting out, you have a limited population that will be looking for rentals, whereas in Memphis is the opposite. So that was one thing that was also always on my mind. It's like, ooh, I hope my tenants like, I hope I get tenants all the time. You know, you don't want to buy something and then after a while, everybody, they're buying their own homes. And so they have a high population. The taxes are super low. So I did a state-by-state comparison, very low property taxes. I believe they don't even have income taxes, although it's not really relevant, but very low property taxes. It's just the laws are really flexible in favor of landlords. So things like that that I was looking at. And it's also not far. It's only like an hour and a half flight from here. If something was to happen that I need to go, there's a straight flight from DC. So, you know, there's little things that you have to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I like that you mentioned all that, because what it says is the importance of analyzing a real estate market. You know, it's important to not just jump in blindly to an opportunity. All the factors you mentioned are things people need to consider in order to make the best decision that you can. So I think that's really great. What was your first experience like as an out-of-state investor? Because I know you had the one in Albany, but you were living in the area, you had some familiarity, but this is like new territory. So what was that like for you? And I'm assuming maybe you had property managers, but even so, like, what was it like just knowing that, you know, you're just trusting other people and they got to execute?
It was scary at first, especially even finding a realtor, because I get my realtors a lot from referrals where I live. It's like, oh, you know, so you can even go to their office, meet with them. Like, I like to go on like quote unquote dates. So we like have coffee, we go to Panera, you know, grab soup, talk, things like that. that's how I connect with like my realtors. But then with Memphis, I didn't go there. Everything was happening online. And the very first realtor that I worked with was a very nice lady. However, she wasn't working with investors a lot. She was your typical homeowner's realtor. So after about 3 weeks of working together, I had to find someone else. And I was so fortunate, I would say even. The one that I found, he was very experienced working with investors, even out-of-state investors. So every property that we had to look at, he was FaceTiming me, showing me every corner, everything. So I was part of the whole process. I didn't feel excluded. And he had a great network. So everything that I needed, he already had someone for. He knew great contractors already. He knew a home inspector. So having a realtor who is well connected into that market, I would say should be like the top priority for everybody looking to invest out of state. Because without you being there doing the legwork, it's very difficult. It's scary. I had nights where I was like so nervous. I'm like, oh, what if this guy is lying about the property? Like I never saw it. And because he knows the home inspector, I'm like, what if both of them are they're just onto something, agreeing on the same stuff, but it's not it. But it's just one of those things where like you have to trust your instinct. Like from our first meeting, I knew he was genuine. And then from there, once we closed on the property, he found a property manager. So everything ended up working out. And then I have a lender. I use the same lender for all my deals. It makes it really easy. They have my file. So even though I have invested in multiple areas and states, but I've always used the same lender. So that part wasn't really difficult because they're licensed. There are multi-state lenders, but the realtor and kind of like the management part of it was really scary at first. And then it became easier. That's why you have, and I talk about this in, you know, on my channel, on my lives, like you have to build a team, a well-connected team. That way you don't have to move a finger. They do everything for you. And then I've never had to go to Memphis or St. Louis or Columbus, any of the places that I've invested. I've never been there. Everything that I know is on the picture or on the video. But my rent has been paid. None of my tenants have missed their rent payment. Everything is good. So it shows that this works. It does.
Definitely. Definitely. So I'm noticing a theme here as we go through, is that you have really dived into new things, you know? So when you think about when you came to the States, you invested in real estate in Albany. When you moved down to the DC area, invested there. Built out the basement, rented that out, went to house hacking, rent the rooms out, go to Memphis, a brand new territory. So I think there's a consistent theme here that, you know, in spite of the fears and hesitations you have, you know, you've done the due diligence that you can and then just kind of took a leap. So I think it's powerful. And it seems like that is kind of what has kept you going.
Yes, it is. And that's also because I do a lot of research.
Yeah.
And everyone who's close to me, family, they know I'm always researching stuff. Before I moved to the US, I already knew I had already looked up Albany on the map. Looked up the school, did the street view. I mean, I do a lot of detailed research. And then when I'm comfortable, then I'll take action. So I think the research really helps back up some of my assumptions, helps clear some fears. And it's just one of those things. It's like, unless you try it, you will never know. Buying a house somewhere I've never been, it could have turned worse. I'm sure there are stories out there where it's like a nightmare, but I had already, you know, done the research, made sure those houses were going to be profitable for me. So I did the numbers, calculated, like every day I was on the phone with my loan officer, just, okay, how much do you think this is, you know, what is my interest? So I was calculating everything, making sure, okay, once all my expenses are paid, I have my profit, I have my cash flow, and it's going to be, so those are the things that really helped me take the risk, And then, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if it doesn't work out, all I had to do was just wait and sell it back, especially, you know, nowadays. I mean, now the market is super hot, but like a year or 2 years ago, it wasn't the case. But it's, real estate is one of those things where like, if one strategy doesn't work, there's always a plan B. If the rental, the long-term rentals wasn't working, I was going to furnish everything, turn into an Airbnb. Like that was my plan B. And then if that wouldn't work, then I would have waited and sold. So it's like having an exit strategy helps you build confidence. So yes, it could have turned ugly, but if it did, this is what I would do. You get it? So that's the importance of having a business plan. I know a lot of people think it's old school, but it's very much relevant. Like once you have a plan, you can overcome anything.
Absolutely. So you're in Memphis. How do you get to St. Louis and Columbus? Like where did those come from?
Okay, so those came from the desire to own multi-family. So Memphis is great for single families. It was really hard finding duplexes in Memphis. Even my realtor said, so I was like, those are kind of hard to find. Maybe, you know, you can find apartment buildings, but like just like a side-by-side or like four units, those are kind of rare. So during my research, St. Louis was on the list as well as, you know, one of the markets that are booming. You know, it has a very good military presence too. Kansas City, but St. Louis was just a little cheaper than Kansas City. Again, I always go from my budget. I could have gone anywhere else, but the house prices in St. Louis were attractive. So I was like, okay, so I got my two. I now have three single families, one in Maryland. I have two in Memphis. I want to get into multi-unit. So I started researching the areas that have multi-units. And then Cleveland was on the top of the list. Lots of affordable multi-units, Columbus. The reason why I picked Columbus over Cleveland is appreciation. So I found in my research and talking to fellow investors that Cleveland is great for cash flow, but a lot, it's just really flat. Mm-hmm. But Columbus, you get a little better in terms of appreciation. You know, it's a livelier economy, really. So decided to do Columbus. Same thing for St. Louis. You know, decided to do St. Louis. And then, you know, started with one. And while I was working on one deal, then there's this other house that was off market that my realtor brought to me. It was like, yo, you don't want to miss this. These people, it's a couple, they were looking to move to Canada and they were like just desperate to sell. So we were able to get a really good deal on that. So once I finished with St. Louis, jumped to Columbus. Columbus, both units were off market. I mean, both duplexes were off market. And I have a team. So I have a team of realtors and wholesalers in Columbus and then in St. Louis too, that I met through my local real estate group here in DC, actually, not even in, they were like, okay, you're interested in St. Louis? Okay, I know somebody. So it's really about networking. So being part of the local real estate group is great because, you know, we talk, I'm like, hey, do you know any, I'm trying to invest in St. Louis. Do you know anybody? Oh, I know the perfect guy and he's going to bring you deals. And then from there, you know, I got connected to a wholesaler and it's just everything started working out. So I really want to emphasize the power of a network, a community, just saying what you need. Like, oh, I need a realtor in Memphis. Boom, right there. So so that's how I just completed those. And now I want to target another market. But anyway, maybe we can talk about later.
Definitely. That's awesome. And so I guess, so in St. Louis and in Columbus, do you have like duplexes in those markets?
Yes, cool. Do two units for each. So two duplexes.
Got it. That's amazing. How many, and so you have, I think, 11 doors now?
Yes.
Got it. And that's just in like, maybe like a 7-8 year time frame?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good, I know. Sometimes I think about it, I'm like, wow, this just happened. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a nobody, but I'm really a nobody, you know, it's just like trying to make things work and building a network and things just happening. I was so amazed. And that's why I'm so passionate about that stuff, because anybody can do it. Anyone can do it. Like, you don't need a wealthy background. You don't need a lengthy education. It's all about just creative financing, creative whatever situation you have, and then just jumping in.
Yep, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience.
I mean, I think creativity is definitely one of the things I'm picking up here. Also, research, building your team. And I mean, I invest out of state. I have a unit in I have a door in Dayton, Ohio, and I can't speak enough about how important it is to build the right team, you know? I'm here in LA. Anything could be happening there, you know, but thankfully,
I said, I know.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Like, thankfully, you know, I'm going through a turnover right now. But, you know, having a network who can tell you what to ask and, you know, contractors dealing with all that stuff and having boots on the ground. You know, I have someone over there. If I text her like, hey, can you go buy the house real quick? I'll pay you to do it, to check on whatever I need you to do. But she'll send me videos, pictures. Then it's like, it just makes you relax a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I think
it does. It's
crucial.
It does. It's amazing. And they also appreciate the trust that you build. So it's not a one-way relationship. It's really there too. Like, just happy to be of service to someone who's not there, and having that trust is great.
Absolutely. So what are your future plans? Like, where does it go from here? You've done a lot of cool things in this first stage of your real estate career. And also, are there other type of investments and business ventures you have going on too?
Well, I invest a lot in general in the stock market. But I have a long-term strategy. So, you know, I don't do hot stocks. Like, I'm in my funds or my ETFs and I just let it sit. So there's nothing exciting happening there. It's just like every month I have automatic investment set up. So I don't even need to look at it. I don't want to look at it because it's just a headache. I do have a cleaning company that I started last year I wouldn't call it a side hustle, but just a business, an additional business that I'm running. And where things are going from here is really, so I'm working on my first flip. That's what I wanted to really try to do. So I have one possibility in Baltimore, and this will be just to fix up and sell. So with flips, I don't want to hold them. Especially for Baltimore, I would just fix and sell. So I'm hesitating between doing one in Baltimore and doing one in Birmingham, Alabama. So where that's like my next move is really trying a flip. I've never done a flip because I was always nervous. But Baltimore is right here, so I can drive down if there's an issue or whatever. And Alabama is not, I have a good team there. They're awesome. So that's like my next move in terms of business. My, you know, real estate business, like, I'm teaching a lot of students how to do this and not be afraid, because it sounds intimidating. It's like, wow, this person has 60. So the thing, just one quickly, I used to be so nervous and so I would say impressed, because whenever I went to a couple of real estate conferences with bigger pockets and things like that, but I didn't feel that I could do this, because it was different, you know, people coming in. It was like, oh, I have 60 doors and, you know, I scaled in 2 years. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I'll never get there. This is not for me. So sometimes it sounds intimidating, especially listening to people's journey. A lot of them, you know, they got started with like money from the trust, family trust, or it got passed down and they just picked up from there. I rarely rarely saw or I rarely met a person of color or someone who just kind of started from scratch and still made it out. It was kind of hard to come across those stories. So my goal is really to reassure anybody, even if, you know, you're just a server or whatever, like, this is accessible to you too. You're just lacking the information, and me and you are here to bring out the information, bring out the secret. Like, there's no more, you know, layer. Like, everything is out. The knowledge needs to get out so more people like you and I can feel included in this conversation that, oh, this is for me too.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I'm definitely looking forward to having you talk to the Bread Real Estate Investing community, just because, you know, we touched on just high level things. But I think, you know, for those who are in the community, it's like a lot of, there's so much that we can dive deeper into to help people and share that information. So I think I'm particularly excited about that.
That's great. Me too. And I'm happy that you put together this platform. It's not a lot of them, like I said in the beginning. So just meeting and networking with great people that have a vision is of value to me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm very inspired by this story. I have one more question, a couple more questions. What advice would you give to someone who, you know, maybe at some stage in life, they heard about this real estate thing and it's something they want to do. But as with many of us before we got started, it just seems like this big, impossible goal. What would you say to somebody in that position who's just starting out and just wants to take the next step?
Okay. The very first thing I share, what I say, is to start where you are. So I wouldn't encourage someone who's just starting out to do out of state, for example, because it's the learning curve. I mean, it's not difficult. It's a little unfamiliar and you can get cold feet quickly. So I would say start where you are, define your budget for where you are, see if you qualify for an FHA. Like, that's the easiest way to get started, is to put as little money down as possible, house hack for a little bit, build that confidence while you're house hacking, right? Because it's like being a landlord, but on a very small scale. And house hacking doesn't mean you need to have roommates. You living in the property and just learning to manage issues that happen, learning to manage, okay, wow, the lights just went out. What do I do? Where is the fuse box located? Things like that. So you get like that little experience. You build some comfort. And then once you have the confidence, now you can open the doors to the wild and then do somewhere else. But I find that sometimes, because, you know, there's so much information being shared, a lot of people, the issue is not that they're afraid to get started. The issue is that they're getting fed so much information. And a lot of the information may be conflicting too. So it's like, okay, what do I do? This guy said he made 50K on the flip. Oh my God. And then this person is just renting or doing it. So it's like so many different strategies being thrown at you. So that's why I'm saying you need to step back, figure out your budget, because that's where it starts. That down payment is not going to go anywhere. You need the money for the down payment. Once you figured out your budget and you realize that you have, let's say, the 3.5% already saved or the 20% already saved, then you can start talking to a lender, not have them run your credit, but just talk to them, make sure you qualify, what exactly you qualify for, things like that. You can even go as far as getting pre-approved and then start looking. It all boils down to the finances. So always start with your budget, see what you have at the moment, what that can qualify you for, and then buy where you live as you first.
Got it. And then can you talk also more about your courses that you offer and what they're about? And we'll definitely make sure to have those in the show notes as well when this comes out.
Yes, of course. So I have two courses and also a coaching program. But the courses, my first course is a beginner's course. So it's called step-by-step guide to buying your first investment property. So that is really, and that's a 3-hour course. You know, it's not just a couple of PowerPoints. It is extensive, going into details, how to find properties on the market, on the public market, and also off market. Like, what are some of the lead generation tools that you can use to find off market properties, even if you don't know a wholesaler? I also talk about analyzing properties. So you've seen a house that you like. How do you know it's a good investment? There are tons. I mean, you open Zillow, you're flooded with results. How do you know which ones are a good investment and which ones are not? Like, you need to look at the math. It's all about the numbers. If the numbers don't work, it doesn't matter how many properties you have. If you're not making money, it doesn't make sense. So I explain and I show, and I also have a tool that I give for free that will compute those numbers for you. It's a cash flow calculator. It also calculates all the different returns on investment, like cash on cash return, cap rate. So it's pretty powerful that you'll get as part of the course. I also talk about how to choose your realtor, because there are some realtors that are great working with, I will say, your standard home buyer. And then there are realtors that are specified for investors that have a network that are connected and will take you from being a newbie to like an experienced buyer because of everything they bring. So we'll talk about that. And then we talk about financing, which is like the biggest thing. So I have highlighted 5 creative financing options that can be used for people who even don't have any money to get started. I have a network of hard money lenders, so if that's the route they would like to go. So we'll talk about that. So that's all in the first course. The second course is focused on remote investing, which is my favorite strategy. So we'll talk about how to build a team remotely, how to analyze properties remotely, how to select a market. The United States has like 51 states, I believe, and some territories. How do you know where to go and what those numbers mean? Which states are landlord friendly versus not, and why that matters. So I talk about all those different parameters and criteria to look for, and then some other things too. So 2 separate courses, 2 types of audience, but valuable, 3 to 4 hours just worth of video and strategies.
Definitely have those in the show notes for sure. So this has been a tremendous interview. You know, I'm just thinking about the journey, right? So, you know, you started in the Ivory Coast, you came here as a kid, really at 18, just trying to figure life out. And something that came to my mind is when you were talking about you were a server and just working different jobs, and you just were overhearing these conversations, right? These business conversations, these conversations about deals. And it sparked something in you. And you started with the property in Albany. Mm-hmm. Everything didn't go as planned. You had a choice at that time. You could have just threw in the towel, sold the property to never got into real estate again. But you made a conscious decision. You're like, I'm going to try this in a different city where I'm moving to, fix the basement up, rent the rooms out, start investing out of state. The rest is history. So I think it's just a very inspirational story that people will be able to gain a whole lot out of. So I'm excited. I can't wait for this to go out, and I can't wait for people to receive this information.
Yes, I'm excited too. I love to share. I'm always giving. I love that. And I hope people can really learn and have some good takeaways from that.
Absolutely. Thank you again for coming on the show. And thank you to everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. If you want to keep up with what we have going on, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. You'll find all of the information there. If you're interested in joining the Red Real Estate Investing Community, you can get started for your first week for just $1. So definitely go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. Check that out. Otherwise, I look forward to hearing from you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's BRED Podcast. Until next time.